Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Is Donald Trump a strong leader? By what measure can his second term so far be deemed a success? Then there's the issue of America First. Trump hasn't stopped foreign wars. He actually continues to fund them. And what about the Epstein files? Where is the transparency? Crosstalking the Trump presidency, I'm joined by my guest, David Swanson, in Charlottesville. He is an author and activist. In Columbus, we have Misty Winston. She is an activist and host of the Misty Winston Show. And in Bloomington, we cross to Bryce Green. He is an activist, writer, and media critic. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. David, let me go to you first in Charlottesville. Trump likes to trumpet himself as being a very strong leader. I never thought that during his first term, and I certainly don't think about it in his second term. But that is what we're fed. That's what his base is fed. But I don't see the evidence. Go ahead, David.
Well, it depends how you define the term leader, but he's incredibly unpopular around the world and in the United States. Record unpopularity. He has done absolutely nothing that I support. And in terms of his own followers, I mean, he's proposed more things and kept more promises than your average president. They're just horrible, horrible things. And, you know, now he's having trouble even with them because he's such an incredible hypocrite. So his whole shtick was 80% be cruel to immigrants and other people, be a jerk. And, you know, he's kept that promise. And that's more promises than Joe Biden ever kept. But a leader, I mean, I think of a leader as someone proposing something new, doing something useful, inspiring people to positive action. I haven't seen a shred of that yet out of this guy.
Yeah, I don't think of a leader as the default position is to punch down. That's not leadership, okay? Misty, essentially the same question to you, because what we're beginning to learn is he a leader of what? A leader of MAGA? Leader of a cult? This is what his presidency is telling us more about the MAGA movement than it's telling anything about himself. And because the Democrats have essentially deleted themselves from the political conversation. They've done that all by themselves, okay? And that's what makes looking at this presidency very difficult, because I call it the suspension of common sense. Every time I use common sense, I don't get anywhere with this guy. Misty.
Yeah, and I think that, as you mentioned, a leader is not somebody that punches down, and I think that's what we've been witnessing. And I love that you liken him to a cult leader, because that's been very apropos over the course of the past several years. But I do think that what we are seeing, and I think it is, if you want to look for a little bit of a silver lining, the cult-like appearance of MAGA is starting to drop away. I think that we have seen in recent weeks a number of very high-profile Trump supporters really start to criticize him quite vocally. I think the Epstein files has been a giant slap in the face for them. I think the Israel situation has also been a slap in the face for them. As David mentioned, he's really kind of failed on a number of major key issues and promises that he made throughout his campaign. So we are starting to see some, not a lot, but some high-level and high-profile MAGA supporters really start to criticize him very vocally. So I think that that's something that we can maybe try to take advantage of. But I do think that you're right. There's no question this man is not a leader. A leader is somebody who elevates people and who inspires positive change and things, just as David was saying. So he's never been a leader. I think that that's always been something. It's really just the rhetoric that he's, and the kind of cult persona that he's created around himself. And I think that that's been effective for him for some time, but I do think we're starting to see that facade fall away.
Yeah, Bryce, you know, because, you know, when looking at the unprovoked bombing of Iran, Trump wasn't a leader. He was a follower. He followed Israel in attacking Iran, a country that the United States is not at war with. Maybe it is now, but that's a follower. And again, setting up the talks in Istanbul. Well, he didn't play a role in that, or in a meaningful role. But he claims that he's leading some kind of peace process while he continues funding one side of the conflict. That's not leadership. None of these things are leadership. Bryce.
I think you're exactly right. It's certainly followership, if that's the term. He followed Biden's policy on non-negotiation with Iran. He followed Biden's policy on non-negotiation with Russia. And he followed Israel's policy on supporting the genocide in Gaza, as well as further escalation against Iran. He's certainly leading in a lot of things. He's leading the world in terms of human rights violations. He's leading his followers to support massive scams in which he himself is directly stealing from him. And he's, of course, leading the world in the dismantling of the public state with the drop in prosecution of white collar crime and the massive transfers of money to the wealthy from the poorest people who did support him.
Yeah, David, I mean, what does America First mean now? I mean, it's a slogan, it's a jingle, it's fine. It goes all, you know, Trump claims he invented it. It goes all the way back to Woodrow Wilson, at least by some accounts here. But what is America First now? Because as Bryce has already pointed out, I mean, Trump is following issues that are amazingly detrimental to the United States and to people that supposedly support him. The Big Beautiful Bill was not a gift to the MAGA movement. I guess they just don't know that yet. David.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. I mean, the slogans are the big thing that changes when you change the flavor of the presidency. I mean, most things continue. The military spending continues. The wars continue despite the promises, right? But Trump is advancing on the destructions put in place by Bush, by Obama, by Biden, by Trump the first. And we are seeing significant increases in attacks and cave-ins by universities, by media outlets, by publishers, by law firms.
David, that's because of coercion. It's not because of a good argument.
Oh, absolutely not. Trump doesn't know anything other than cruelty and force. This is why it's idiocy to go calling, you know, this insecure buffoon who knows only violence, a guy who chickens out. You don't want to shout you're a taco president at this guy. It, you know, this is all he knows is violence and destruction. But there are people following him, and they're chiefly the rulers of European countries and other NATO members who are bowing down and saying, yes, we will do everything the United States has gotten wrong. We will take all the money out of human needs and environment and things that are useful and put it into weapons, instead of the United States learning something from countries that have done something right. So there is still that within NATO's universe, there is still following the U.S. government off a cliff.
Well, I'm not, Missy, I'm not sure. I get the point that David is making. I think they're playing Trump, and they're going to wait him out, okay? Because they're preparing for a war after he leaves office. It's really quite amazing, Missy.
Yeah, and I think that, as David just said, when we look at the way that nothing ever changes, it doesn't matter who the president is, and that's really the reality of the country that we live in. The only main difference, and I say this all the time, on war and Wall Street, there's one party. The only real difference between the two major parties in this country is the demographics to which they pander to. And that's really the only substantive, there's really no shift or change in the agenda. Everything continues to march forward as planned, and I think that you may be right. I think that, some of these countries, maybe I know for sure that I think Russia and China are definitely just waiting it out. They're waiting for the United States to self-implode, because that is what we are doing. We are a nation in decline, and it's almost as if we're witnessing the controlled demolition of the American empire.
Well, Bryce, I mean, that's one of the content. That's one of the things I look at it is accelerating trends that have failed. These foreign interventions, failure, failure, and failure. And that continues. And this is an acceleration decline. But Trump is calling it a victory.
You're exactly right. If Trump was genuinely trying to bolster America's position, make it competitive with China, Russia, competitive with the BRICS bloc, he would be doing the exact opposite. Instead, we're seeing the dismantling of the university system, so we can't train people to come and compete with the rest of the world. We're dismantling social services so that our people are poorer and are sicker. We're enabling corporate crime so that our people are being fleeced by the president himself and his best friends and the people who work for him. None of this is consistent with someone who wants to make America great. And of course, we all know that that was a lying slogan to begin with. There was no agenda to actually enrich the lives of people. And as you say, this is not something that's exclusive to the Trump and the Republicans. Biden presided over one of the largest increases in poverty in American history. Trump doesn't seem to want to do anything about that. He seems to want to exacerbate that. And so if you're China or Russia looking at what America's doing, you are only waiting them out, because the U.S. government is hollowing itself out and the people are sitting here and watching it and actively getting stolen from.
Well, David, this is what happens at the end of empires, is that the state is dismantled and it's gutted. And this is what all these AI, these tech guys, I mean, that's what they're looking. They're looking at the bones that are left of empire and consuming them as well. MAGA has nothing to do with people, David.
Absolutely not. But I'd like to see some of these other countries that are supposedly just waiting him out do it in support of the rule of law that he is blatantly violating. I mean, Russia, China, they're in an arms race with the United States. They're not just sitting there. Russia is insisting on continuing a war in Ukraine, as Ukraine is insisting on continuing a war with Russia. We are so far removed from the basic idea of a rule of law that you got 12 countries that manufacture no weapons going to Bogota and having a meeting and declaring that they won't arm Israel. And this is like the closest we come to a gesture in support of the rule of law. These other countries are building spheres of influence. You know, we're not building universal, everybody, accountability for everyone. This is what has Trump's supporters upset, that rich people Epstein are not accountable.
But,
everyone.
You brought up BRICS. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of discussions about it, but they're creating a world beyond the United States, around the United States, parallel to the United States, for the very reasons that we are talking about on this program. Unfortunately, I have to jump in here. I'm going to interrupt myself. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the Trump presidency thus far. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Laveau. To remind you, we're discussing the Trump presidency. Okay, let's go back to Misty. I think we're seeing what it would be at first blush a contradiction. Over the last couple of news cycles, we have all this discussion about the Epstein's files with the lack of transparency. Revealing the Russiagate hoax is being pushed very heavily by this administration. Even the Clinton campaign of 2016. That is coming out here. Now, so is that attacking the deep state? And I have been pondering this for the last few days, because on the one hand, it seems like Trump has embraced the deep state with its foreign wars, the genocide in Gaza, attacking Iran, unwilling to resolve the issue in Ukraine. There seems to be countervailing tensions here. Or is it simply red meat for the base? There were some bad apples and got to get rid of the bad apples. We're not going to touch the FBI. We're not going to touch the CIA, the NSA. It's going after bad apples. And again, this is part of what, you know, David and I were talking about in the very beginning of the program. This is a punching down process. Misty, your thoughts? Because I think there are arguments on both sides. Go ahead.
I agree. I think that it's theater. I think all of this stuff is theater. I think that generally speaking, what these elected officials do, in particular Donald Trump, he likes to flick the crumbs of crumbs in your general direction and hope that you'll be dumb enough to accept that as progress. And he's very good at that. And I think that they're very effective at knowing which subject matter is most emotionally driven. And so those are the buttons that they like to push. And so they'll use things like the Epstein files, and they'll use things like the genocide in Gaza to really get underneath people's skin and to keep really the people divided. They want us fighting amongst ourselves so that they can continue to rape, pillage, and plunder. And so I think that that's really what we're seeing. Donald Trump is going to continue to sort of throw these shiny objects at people so that he can continue to get away with things like bombing Somalia 51 times already this year, or, you know, passing the Genius Act, or whatever it is that he is trying to get done behind the scenes.
Yeah, the Genius, you know, Bryce, the Genius Act, apparently it was named after Trump. That's what he said. This guy, like I said, suspension of common sense, okay? That's what makes it interesting and bizarre at the same time. You know, Bryce, it's very interesting how Trump, at one point last week, he was very dismissive of MAGA because of the Epstein files. Now, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole and devote the rest of the program to that. You can do that elsewhere. But these people in this administration campaigned on his behalf on that issue. This is a self-owned, Bryce.
No, you're exactly right. But it's sort of a self-owned that must have been seen from far away. Trump surrogates and the Trump MAGA movement in the campaign ran heavily on exposing the deep state and taking on the deep state and fighting elite criminality while being themselves elite criminals. The fact that they refused to do anything serious about the Epstein case just demonstrates that the level of accountability that can be achieved in this country really only occurs when one side of the political spectrum can benefit. For example, the release of the Russiagate files. Well, that's something that is important and true, but it's very obviously being done as a distraction from the Epstein case, because the Russiagate scandal, that more reflects poorly on Democrats, whereas the Epstein case reflects poorly on both Republicans and Democrats, so it's likely never going to be investigated. And we've seen other things released from the Trump administration. In fact, I believe on Monday or Sunday, the administration released Martin Luther King Jr. files. Certainly an important contribution to public discourse, still a distraction from the actual political issues of today. The JFK files, many of them were released earlier this year. Still an important issue, but far removed from the actual political actors that we're seeing today. So it's a way of signaling to the base that they are trying to conquer some version of the deep state that they have in their mind, while being very close with and enacting the policies of the deep state of today.
Yeah, David, I see a lot of these things as a distraction. Like, for example, revealing the documents behind the Russiagate hoax. Those of us that followed this story, and I did very closely, made many programs about it, it's nothing new, okay? It's just a confirmation that, yeah, this is what we know. We knew this, but this person did this, this person did that. I mean, I feel relieved. I feel that, you know, a self-justification for doing it. But that's not a number one issue with any constituency in the United States. I would say also about the other file releases that Bryce mentioned. It's important, but it's not political. Other issues are, like the Epstein case. David.
And it's not abolishing the CIA or the NSA or the FBI. It's tweaking around the edges. It's getting something small released for partisan reasons. It's pushing back a little. It's push and pull with these agencies. But the notion that Trump is an outsider taking on elites, that he's not here to impoverish you and enrich the billionaires, that he's not going to do absolutely whatever the fossil fuel companies and the weapons dealers want, that he has some other personal agenda that can overcome their desires. No, this is where the real power is. You advertise that you're going to end this war and that war. You come in, they explain to you that the wars are going to continue, and the wars continue. So, you know, there are ways to take apart bits of the bureaucracy, even abolish, you know, whole departments. But still, who is in charge overall right now is the war profiteers. It's not Joe Biden or Donald Trump. They are, you know, so Trump can have his picture everywhere. He can have fascistic weapons parades. He can send troops into Los Angeles. But the people in charge are the people arming those troops. It's not Donald Trump, ultimately.
Missy, what David just described is just political theater, nothing more.
Yeah. And I think that it's really become quite obvious. I think if anything really drew that into sharp relief, it was the Joe Biden presidency. That guy was making no decisions. There was no decisions being made by Joe Biden, right? And I think that everybody really started to recognize that. And we're starting to see more and more people question who really is in charge. And I think those of us who have been paying attention are well aware that it is people like the weapons manufacturers and other people who are very shadowy, and most people don't know their names, but they do have names. And so I think that we are starting to see that kind of crack, where people are starting to really question things that maybe they wouldn't have questioned before, which I think is a positive. I just think that it's really going to be a matter of, we're starting to see, as I mentioned earlier, the MAGA base start to criticize Trump. Now, the question is, are they going to fall for the next demagogue when it comes to the next election cycle? The likelihood is, yes, a lot of them will, but some won't. And I think that that's good. And we need to kind of try to capitalize on that.
Well, that's a fascinating point, because I think that's you can push back against it, Bryce, by saying, when are people going to wake up that no one is coming to save them?
They're waking up more and more every day. And the only way that we're going to get out of this duopoly system in which the Republicans do move the Overton window far to the right, the Democrats shifted back a little to the left, only to move it further to the right again. The only way to get out of that cycle is to develop a genuine working class based political movement in this country. And we saw, you know, echoes of that or beginnings of that with the Bernie Sanders movement, but that was attacked viciously and dismantled and not continued. We're seeing some progressive movements in this country start to have a more critique of the duopoly and take action on that front. And on the right, we're seeing a lot of people break with Trump, mostly at the insistence of Trump himself, who is actively disavowing some of his MAGA base. But that sentiment, it shouldn't be just ignored or allowed to dissipate. I think it's the job of organizers and activists to try and capitalize on that, to set the stage for a 2028 where the worst people on the planet are not our only choices for president.
Yeah, but they always seem to be vaulted into power, okay? David, is Donald Trump's greatest advantage is that Joe Biden was president for 4 years?
I think probably so, yeah. That and the general trends of consolidation of corporate media and legalized bribery and corruption. But the fixing of this cannot be all about waiting for who takes the throne next, 3 years from now. Yeah. It has to be nonpartisan, non-electoral, public, strategic, nonviolent action. It has to be the people who are turning out and chasing the ICE agents out of their neighborhoods, building, expanding, growing. It has to be the Harvards that are resisting, the independent media that's resisting, the Slovenia voting itself out of NATO. It has to be concrete steps. And these millions of people who turn out at these phony rallies to yell no kings, and then 10 days later, all the Democrats vote against impeaching Trump for being a king. These are advertisements for an election 3 years hence. The labor unions planning a general strike timed to an election 3 years hence. This is not what's needed, but these people mean well. Millions of these people are willing to risk arrest. They're willing to take a day off to go shout about how evil things are, and they need to be organized outside of the Democratic Party into a strategic, nonviolent, escalatory campaign to change things apart from elections.
Yeah, but see, in the break, I told you that, you know, I have a critique of Trump from a conservative position. And David, you've just confirmed that, is that conservatives, liberals, moderate, whatever you want, we can all agree on that agenda. That's not hard. Misty, I think some good news is that Colbert lost his job.
And there are now protests outside the building, which I think is very interesting.
Really? They're protesting?
Yeah. They're protesting Colbert. It's probably astroturfed. I don't know how legitimate it is, but there are protests taking place outside the building, which I think if you're going to protest something, can we please not make it a millionaire losing his job?
That yeah, is I mean, I mean, ridiculous. Do they have a cooler with the Kool-Aid outside of the building?
I think the media outlet taking a knee to Trump. It's the giant media conglomerates bowing to Trump, paying him bribes, allowing his censorship. This is the problem. It's not
Colbert.
It's all for the purpose of
Yeah, but Colbert was the problem. Colbert was the problem as well, yeah. Okay? There's plenty of blame to spread around everybody. But one thing is that we have to, as Misty has pointed out in this program, don't let them divide us. That's what we have to fight the most. We have to embrace each other and accept differences. That's how the country was essentially established. So we've gone so far astray. Anyway, that's all the time we have. Fascinating discussion. I want to thank my guests in Charlottesville, Columbus, and in Bloomington. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, crosstalk rules.